I believe that history is going to be on our side, and we are going to look back on this dark period in American history where we allowed crime to go completely out of control, and these people will be treated as pariahs, and history books will just absolutely hammer them for what they've done.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training, and we brought him back. I brag about you a lot, Joe, to a lot of people, and I hope to get you on the calendar for next year's conference. The dates are set April 28th through May 3rd. Palms, was it Gaylord Palms, Orlando, Florida. Gonna be legit. Joe Grimaldi. And if you don't know who he is, president of the FOP, you've seen him on
Vice
TV.
Vice president. Don't give me a promotion.
Sorry, vice president for now, president, future president of the FOP, and has a badass office now. That's not just the FOP in Texas. That's the national FOP. And we've all seen Joe on the news and on social media representing law enforcement very well and having a fucking set of balls so big that he can't put his pants on. And somebody has to do it. And I'm glad you decided to. And I'm glad that you you know how to dance with the fear of doing the right thing.
Wow, man, Dennis, I appreciate you having me back on. Thank you for the wonderful introduction once again. You know, I'm going to probably have to hire you as like my publicist at some point and give you some money for all these wonderful plugs you're giving me. But yeah, I'm going to be there next year. We'll get it on the calendar. I'm excited because I heard y'all blew the roof off in Nashville. So I can only imagine it's going to be even bigger in Orlando.
I appreciate the sentiment and the compliment. And it just broke my heart a little bit to hear a guy from New York say y'all.
Whoa, you got to understand, I've been down here now for 15 years, and you got to start fitting in with the locals. So I say y'all, and I also say fixin' too, like I'm fixin' to go somewhere later today. So, you know, you're just going to have to make peace with it.
Do you even bring back the yous ever?
You know, every once in a while, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, the funny thing is the accent just starts to kick in once you go home and you're around friends. It's almost like a survival mechanism. Like, I don't want to sound too country while I'm in New York. So I'll turn it up just a little bit when I go home.
How about when you, I don't know, I know that you don't consume too much alcohol, but if you ever consume alcohol, does it New York come flying out?
You know where the New York really comes flying out? When I really get going about something. Like when I really get rolling, people are like, for some reason, your accent kicks in. It's almost like you divert back. And when I really start getting mad, it gets going. And of course, the hand movements too, because, you know, when you're Italian, you can't talk without your hand.
I think any good speaker talks with their hands, to be honest with you. If you actually watch videos on YouTube how to give a good presentation, hand movements are some of the most important factors of being a good speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what they say, it's what is it like 70% is body language when you're communicating with folks. Also, it's more entertaining. You're more animated. You know, if you just sat there and you were monotone talking out of camera, people are going to tune out within 2 seconds.
True. What are we talking about today, Joseph?
You know what?
Is it Joseph or Giuseppe? Is it Giuseppe?
Yeah, no, you can call me Joe. That's fine. It's not Giuseppe.
Is it Giuseppe? Is it Giuseppe?
Huh?
Are you a Giuseppe?
No. I legitimately am a Joseph, but I just go by Joe. But yeah, you know, Giuseppe's the old school. My grandfather's name was Pietro. So that just really tells you how Italian I am.
Interesting, dude. I actually know a couple Pietros, as weird as that sounds. From New Jersey, right?
I know. So, you know, I saw something here recently, Dennis, and I was wondering if you saw it too. Time Magazine did an article about how we have more security guards in this country now more than ever. And we have all these private businesses that are hiring security guards, and we're having communities that are hiring security guards to patrol their streets. And when I saw it, I was just like, you know, this is exactly, you know, a bravo to the anti-police grifters and the freaking defund divas, because this is just great, right? Let's have security guards who are accountable to no one with no oversight. And I'm certainly not insulting a bunch of security guards across the country. Most of them receive significantly less training than we do. Now they're going to be patrolling the streets instead of police officers. Like, this is just fantastic. You got your wish. And the worst part about all of it is it's setting up a two-tiered system. So those people who have the means will have private security and they'll make sure that their families are secure. But those low-income neighborhoods, the ones where we care about the residents there, damn sure more than the politicians, because they've allowed neighborhoods to just devolve for decades and continue to be a problem. they'll leave them to their own devices, and we won't have police officers for their neighborhoods, and they won't be able to afford security guards. I mean, it's so comical to me that they continue to push this anti-police bullshit when you see that it has been an unmitigated disaster for our minority communities. The Black community, Black males, 12 times the homicide rate than anybody else in this country. And you know, it's so funny because you still have politicians like Cori Bush out of St. Louis, Missouri, who, by the way, in 2020 had like their highest murder rate in almost recorded history. It just came out that she employs a private security force that she pays. Now, by the way, you know who's the highest paid person on that security force? Her husband. So she is paying her husband and a private security force to protect her, but still wants to defund police officers in her own neighborhood. I mean, it's just such an elitist position to have, and they're all hypocrites, and they're just ruining our communities. And instead, we'll just have security guards policing folks. This is going to turn out great.
I just go back to this often when I see political agendas. It is flabbergasting to me what becomes a priority. And it's flabbergasting to me that stopping police is a priority of the far left. Why isn't homelessness and starving people our priority number one in this country? Why are we not resolving these issues? Why are we not? And I'm going to just for the moment, obviously, a lot of issues are important, but how do we live in a country where there is such wealth, yet there are still starving children every single day, and politicians take public funds and just throw them to the wind to push a political agenda for a possible reelection or pushing their side's agenda while people starve? And there is no accountability. There's no repercussions for misappropriation of funds.
And Dennis, we are sending money around the world to all of these other countries to try to assist them. And it's like, hey, if we were squared away here in America and everybody was prosperous and everybody was doing well, you want to help other people? Okay, I get it. You know, I'm a benevolent individual. I understand. Like, let's do those things. But like, how are we not focused on the issues that are taking place right now in our country? And to your point, we have a homeless problem in our country. We have crime problems in our country. But another thing is, why is it the same neighborhoods? Why is it that the same neighborhood that was downtrodden, that was crime ridden, that was riddled with homelessness 50 years ago is the same neighborhood that is causing us a problem right now? And to a larger point, why are the people in those communities still voting for the same folks? Because let's be honest, most of the places that I'm talking about have been run by Democrats and are Democrat run cities and areas and have been a disaster for decades. So, and we've spent money, we're sending money all these other places. Why is there no oversight, as you said, to say, have we gotten an ROI on our money? Has there been a return on investment? Has the quality of life gone up? Has the educational standards gone up for the people? Are people getting more jobs? And in all aspects, things have only gotten worse. So it's like, what the hell are we doing? And why do those communities continue to reelect the same people that have just created a disaster? I mean, Chicago just did it again. They just did it again. You know, the west side of Chicago has a murder rate that rivals the most violent city in the world, Tijuana, Mexico. And yet they just elected someone who appears to be a bigger mess than Lori Lightfoot, which I can't even fathom how somebody could be worse than her. But it looks like this dude's going to be, oh, and this is great, Dennis. This is great. Did you see a couple weeks ago when you had like this entire mob of teenagers take over a section of Chicago, right? And they are looting stores. They're dragging people out of cars. They're beating the shit out of people. And this new elected mayor is like, we got to understand there's a lot of misunderstood youth in our community. Just stop, okay? Misunderstood youth is tipping over a trash can, knocking over a mailbox, cutting school, occasionally getting into fights, not looting stores and dragging people out of their cars. We need to stop apologizing in this country for criminal activity. And we need to make sure that we focus on people need to be accountable for their actions. Stop making excuses for these folks and actually hold them accountable for their actions.
Before we continue forward, I do want to just interject here. I typically don't take, and believe me, I am certainly in a position at this moment in my life to take a political side. And maybe at some point I will. And the only reason I'm going to just interject here and say, I don't want Joe's, and I'm not, this is not me pandering or me being scared, but I have met Democrats who are pro-police. Mm-hmm. And I've met mayors who were like, hey, look, I had to take the Democratic ticket because the Republican one was taken to get elected. So I generally like to refer to these people as left-wing liberal radicalism. So because I don't think it's fair to some people who are, and again, it's not, I'm not saying scolding Joe one bit, but if I'm representing this podcast appropriately and this organization, we really try to stay off the agenda of dividing two different parties, Republican and Democratic, and stay focused more on, are you a fucking nut bar or are you reasonable? And, you know, certainly try to look at some things. The problem for us as people with uncommon sense, which is if we had common sense, everybody would have it. And we clearly know that we're surrounded by idiots. There's no question about it. We just are. We look at this and we can't understand how a rational human being could side with some of these ideas that are clear failures. And it leads me to my next thought is, I don't think people know how to fix it. And I think people are easily manipulated by these politicians. And even these other politicians who are on the side of right things are flabbergasted by the behavior of other politicians. They could, like, literally, I know these people behind the scenes are like, these people are so fucking nuts. And they don't know. There's a saying that I got years ago. I just talked about it the other day. It was, crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lori yeah. Lightfoot has no idea that she's batshit. She's batshit. And she's the mayor of one of the largest cities in the United States of America. She's batshit. Shit, right?
Yeah.
Like, these people are batshit. And they're getting reelected and reelected on a agenda of making the police, the good guys, the bad guys. That's what confuses everybody. Right. You want to be batshit and make sure people can't. They just came out, I think, today or yesterday. In 2026 in New York City, no more natural gas unless the building's seven stories or higher. Right.
What are we solving?
This is top priority. These are top priorities.
You know, crime is rampant in New York. There's crime and disorder everywhere. But we're worried about gas stoves. And you know, to your point, there is a lot of great blue dog Democrats is what I call them, who are, you know, supportive of law enforcement, who are law and order. But to your point, when you're talking about these batshit crazy politicians, like, we need other politicians calling that out. And I mean on both sides of the aisle. Like, you have most of us that are living our lives, you know, the 80% of the country is either center left, center right, and then you have the far left and the far right. But like, the politicians who are in the middle, they need to be calling out those radicals and saying, hey, we don't align with what they're doing. That's just crazy. And I think too often you have politicians who are not willing to speak up and say those types of things. But like, listen, I'm an equal opportunity criticizer of both sides, because I'll tell you right now, there's been 135 police officers shot in this country as of May 1st. Okay. That is a 52% increase from 2020. It's a 48% increase since 2021. And the only reason we don't have more dead cops is because, thankfully, technology's come a long way. Medical professions come a long way, right? Republicans are control of the House, and yet they have yet to pass the Protect and Serve Act, which would make it a federal crime to knowingly assault a police officer, which would take it out of the rogue prosecutors and activist judges' hands, and they'd be looking at federal time when somebody assaults cops. Maybe that might be a good deterrent when some turd, some dirtbag knows that they're going to go to federal prison if they assault a cop or shoot a cop. But yet Republicans haven't passed that yet. So they ran on a platform of law and order, and I haven't seen that. So, you know, in the end, I'm going to support and advocate for police officers, but there is a blame to go on both sides with some of this stuff, where I don't see the movement that I'd like to see if you're really supportive of law enforcement and you want to fly that flag. Because too often people want to pat us on the back and show up at funerals and hug us, but then we don't see the same support later on down the road.
Isn't it nuts that this is even a topic of discussion? If you really go, like, just bird's eye view, get up real high. Isn't it insane that this is even a discussion that Dennis Bonino and Joe Gamaldi have to have on a podcast, on a national podcast, and it constantly becomes a topic of conversation in this country? Like, there are so many other things that we have to worry about, and we got to spend time trying to make sense. Isn't that wild?
Dennis, it's completely insane. I mean, think about this for a moment. There is a police officer shot once every 21 hours in this country, and nobody's talking about it. This should be like front page news. Every single newspaper, every single national outlet. Joe Biden should be giving speeches about it every single day, that this is a stain on our society that is not sustainable. The people who have sworn an oath to protect our communities are being hunted in the streets. We're going to work with targets on our backs every day, and nobody's talking about, this is not a third world country. We don't live in Mexico where police officers are like regularly assassinated there. Like, why is it that we are not taking this much more seriously? Like, obviously, as a profession, we are, you know, we're training better. We're advocating to our folks. You got to watch each other's backs. Well, at least police unions are, and street supervisors are. I don't know what a lot of the police chiefs are doing. They're not stepping up as much to talk about violence. There are some of them that are really good, but others, I just don't know why they're not speaking out about violence against law enforcement. But I can't understand for a second how this isn't a bigger issue. We have certainly brought a lot of attention to it from the national FOP, and we have gotten some coverage, but this should be leading the news every day. We are not some war-torn third world country. This is the United States of America, and we shouldn't have police officers being shot every 21 hours in our country. And we should damn sure be focused about it and making sure that anybody who does it receives absolutely no quarter, talking life in prison. You shoot a cop, done. I don't even know why I have to argue about this.
You brought it up earlier, the New York City epidemic now of a shortage of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, what people don't realize is when they want better trained cops, they're running the existing cops into the ground morally. They are just destroying their morale. They're overworking them. I've heard many stories of these police officers, 7 day, 16 hour shifts, sleeping in police cars, living at police stations, not even being allowed to go home to their families. And then they expect some professional to show up when they've done nothing. And where's Bill de Blasio? Oh, I don't know, probably flying around on a private jet somewhere, eating caviar while he leaves.
Speaking about climate change while he flies on a private jet.
Yeah, and you've got people in the streets who are living in the city who are victims of crime. Police suicide through the roof, cops fleeing the city. And to the benefit of, honestly, I've said this before, I think I said it on Tommy Lahren's show last week. I don't know if you caught that one, Joe, but, you know, who benefits is the suburbs. That's where the cops go. They're going to the places where they're going to have support. They're going to have appropriate contracts. They're going to have appropriate, to some degree, all this stuff, but a better degree than getting their asses handed to them in the city nonstop. They're human beings. They're not robots. You can only work them so hard, and they have been beaten to death and still remain unsupported. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I started my career at the NYPD. I did 3 years there. And when I was there, there was like 42,000 cops. I think they're down to like low 30s now, just to give you, you know, an idea. And, you know, of course, all these suburbs outside, Nassau, Suffolk County, the suburbs to the north, they all steal the cops from the NYPD because New York City has continually not paid a fair wage to police officers, especially if you want to live anywhere in the five boroughs. I mean, let's just be honest. You can't afford to live on that salary and live anywhere in the five boroughs, which is why most of the folks move out of those areas and they move into the suburbs and they commute into the city. But you work them to death. And they did the same thing in Chicago. For weeks, they wouldn't even give them a day off. 12-hour shifts, just hammering them. And then you're upset when they're not the most professional when they talk to someone, or you're upset when a scene goes bad. And it's like, what did you expect was going to happen? You don't give them any time for training because you're too busy working them. You've set them up for failure. And then when it happens, the same politicians that did all that will throw those cops under the bus. So you set them up for failure, and then you throw them under the bus when they do fail. And think about, how is this fair to the citizens that are paying taxes and actually paying more taxes than they have? They get less cops, they get less service, and yet their taxes continue to go up. And to your point, we had an incident on the subway just a week ago where an individual had been arrested well over 40 times, had an open warrant out for his arrest, shouldn't have been free in the first place, is threatening people on the subway. Well, we don't have enough cops to patrol in the area. People feel threatened. So they basically, you know, brought this guy down to the ground. They subdued him and the guy ends up dying, right? This was completely avoidable. If we didn't have a revolving door criminal justice system, this individual would have been in jail. He would not have been free out on the streets. Let's just be clear about that. So when we talk about how impactful this light on crime and hug a thug, you know, criminal justice policies that everybody has, the impact is on a number of different people. Obviously, the biggest impact is on the community. And that's why we see crime through the roof in all our major cities. It's why we see crime and disorder. And it's why we see people fleeing New York in droves. I mean, you can't even find a U-Haul truck because so many people are leaving and it's destroying their tax base, which ultimately makes the community worse. Food deserts, financial deserts, we've been through it before. The next person in harms is the cops, because now we have to deal with the same violent suspects over and over and over again. And what lesson have they learned? They've learned, I can resist, I can fight, I can commit crimes, I'm going to be right back out the next day. But it's not just that, it's completely demoralizing to the officer who has risked their life, risked their career, risked criminal prosecution for just being proactive and arresting someone. And then that dude's right back out on the street before the paperwork's done. But you know who else it harms? And nobody seems to ever want to talk about this. It harms the suspect. And I'll tell you why. Maybe, just maybe, if we had done our job as a society and intervened and thrown the book at them, they would have straightened out. Maybe they had a drug problem and going to prison was the only way they would have cleaned up. Maybe they have a mental health problem and going to jail and going through the system properly would have gotten them the resources that they needed and identified that. But instead, you just let them out over and over again. So this has been a complete disaster. Essentially what they did, Dennis, was they submitted all of us to a social experiment with no proof that it would work, with no studies to say it would reduce crime. Nothing that would actually, that somebody could measure that would improve the quality of life for our communities. And they subjected all of us to this, all of these politicians, these far left nutballs, as you would talk about. And there has been no repercussions for them. And that's what really hurts, is that they should be held accountable for what they've done. And in addition, I certainly hope, I believe that history is going to be on our side, and we are going to look back on this dark period in American history where we allowed crime to go completely out of control, and these people will be treated as pariahs, and history books will just absolutely hammer them for what they've done.
They're doing
Sorry,
it here in
I
New
went
Jersey.
On a rant.
No. You're supposed to. That's who you are. That's what we brought you on for. They're doing the same thing in New Jersey. Instead of spending resources and allocating funds towards things like, I don't know, crime reduction, feeding the homeless, feeding the needy, taking care of people, ensuring that all these things are fulfilled first. It's now this constant watchdog of law enforcement here. And I've been around this business 22 years, albeit once every so often, there's a little bit of a problem and it's nipped in the bud. And internal affairs, attorney generals, prosecutors, they take care of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not good enough. Let's continue to demoralize. And I don't know if you saw this. In the state of New Jersey, it's proposed that, well, a few fun things have been going on. Police officers have to relinquish their social media accounts over to the government to ensure they're not following right-wing extremist groups.
Just real quick, who defines what a right-wing extremist group is? Like, is street cop training a right-wing extremist group?
Right. Well, apparently, I think in some sense, I think that's how I'm viewed. Common sense is a motherfucker when you have none of it, right? When somebody else shows up with the truth. What else are they doing? Oh, there is proposed legislation to stop police officers from stopping vehicles for certain motor vehicle violations. So just dismantle the entire motor vehicle code. And what you're saying is, here's more of a chance to get away with crime. And it's hung on the back of this implied racial profiling. And it's all a skewed numbers to try to push the agenda. And the craziest shit, and you can imagine working with this guy, I'm told that it's being presented by a law enforcement officer. I use that term very lightly, I think, on paper, in a very, very difficult part of this state, who is pushing this agenda. And I got to tell you, it's not the first time I've run into somebody from this exact police department, this exact place, who gave me a hard time one time. This is no bullshit. I'm out. We worked off duty at the malls, right? So I always took the mall job. The mall wanted me to work there a lot because they liked having me there, because your boy here likes to sniff it out.
Yeah, do a little shopping there too while you're there, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they got an Applebee's. It was half off. Anyway, so what? If it was downtime, one thing that really I found offensive, and, you know, listen, it's the mall. I mean, I'm doing the best I can to try to protect the mall and ensure that the mall is not being preyed upon by scammers, shoplifters.
Sure.
But we had, at this time of my career, there's a guy inside, a guy outside. You know, so what I do in the interim while I keep my eyes peeled is I also keep an eye on handicapped parking violations. Now, a lot of people know that I have a significantly handicapped brother. And it's crazy, dude, because even though he was entitled to have a handicapped parking, he had a handicapped placard. We never used it, right? Just didn't. We didn't think it was right. He could walk, albeit if you ever see him walk, he's very, very discombobulated. Mm-hmm. But we always felt like, you know, somebody in a wheelchair is in a worse place than he is. So I would catch people consistently. I mean, half, if not more, of the cars parked in handicapped parking was were violating the law. And the fine is expensive. It's a $400 fine in New Jersey. I'd hand these things out like they were candy, right? And I caught a lot. I got really good at it. As a matter of fact, I started giving some seminars on it to other police officers in my agency on how it worked, what the statute, how it works, what you should look for. I just, from doing it so much for so many years, and again, I didn't go out during patrol duties and start hunting down handicapped violators. I'm working at the mall. I'm taking, as I'm scanning the parking lots, I'm also taking an account to who's parking in these spots. People say, oh, it's so contradictory what you say. I think there's a big difference between somebody who's doing 11 over the speed limit and somebody who's literally such a lazy fuck that they want to steal a spot from somebody who's disabled. Like, you know, your disabled veterans who have lost their legs, kids with cerebral palsy, you know, elderly people. I think it's just a disgusting thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how you do this research is you usually go up, you grab the placard number, you run it through the system, and then it'll tell you who the placard belongs to. So I do it, and and the guy gets out of the car, and he goes, the fuck are you doing? I go, I am checking handicap placards. It's in plain view. I'm within my right. And he goes, you're checking mine, though. And then he starts going to this race thing. And I said, I'm checking everybody's. I'm not even going to play this game with you, okay?
Yeah.
I go back to the car. I put it in. Comes back to like a female, but a young female. And I said, okay, listen, man, you know, is the young female in the car? Dude, I kiss people all the time, right? He goes, you just hold on a second, bro. You don't got to worry about shit because you're going to see in a second who the fuck this belongs to. All right, motherfucker. And I'm like, okay, I'll just stand here because I don't see the female yet. The back, it's a SUV. The tinted windows are girl gets in the car. And she's got a walking condition, right? And, you know, so he goes, is that good enough for you? I said, sir, if I was you, I would say to myself, I have a daughter who needs handicapped spots. Isn't it just wonderful that this police officer is out here ensuring that we have a place to park? Yeah. But instead, you're calling me a racist. Then he pulls out 10. He's a lieutenant at the same police department that this person comes from. And I said to him, the most terrifying thing in the world is that you have a badge in your pocket.
Yep.
And I think he was since then retired, but he's like, yo, I'm a fucking cop too, motherfucker. And I'm like, you are a disgrace and a disgust to the badge, because I didn't come over here because of what you're implying, that because you were a different color than I was. I came over here because I have a brother just like your daughter. And I feel like as a protector of society, this is an important thing if I had time to do it. And he just didn't want to hear it. Basically told me to go fuck myself. And that was a lieutenant at a sheriff's office in New Jersey. And again, I'm not going to do an IA. I'm not a rat fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know,
dude, I found out later on, the dude's a well-known piece of shit.
Of Everybody course, hates yeah. Guts, like, right? Surely this isn't the first time he's done something like this.
No, he's a fucking scumbag. Right.
And like you said, instead of being appreciative to the fact that you were making sure to clear out those spots so someone like his daughter could have a spot like that up in front of the mall, he was more concerned about whatever, you know, victimhood he could claim as a result of it. But, you know, another good test of people that, you know, whether or not they use the handicap spot is just, do they put the shopping cart back at the grocery store? That is a great test about whether or not someone is a piece of shit or not. And if you're offended by this, folks that are watching, put the cart back in the little caddy in the parking lot. There's no penalty if you don't, but just be a good person. Put the cart back, because otherwise it's going to fly across the lot and smash into somebody's car. But that's a great test. Whenever I see someone just leaving a cart in the middle of the aisle, I said, okay, I got you. Now I know what kind of person you are. When you were talking about traffic stops, you know, I'm a stats guy, and I keep all these statistics in my head because I believe it's just so important to provide facts when you talk about things. So let me ask whoever this law enforcement professional may be, have they heard of the Kansas City gun experiment, where basically one in every 28 traffic stops yielded an illegal firearm off the streets? So if you suddenly stop making traffic stops for quote unquote minor violations, because I'm assuming they're going to go the tail light route, license plate light route, those type of equipment violations, you're missing out on that. I'll give you another statistic. 47% of the guns taken off the street in New York City in 2020 were done by traffic stops. So what kind of idiot who would have any association with law enforcement would say, we need to stop doing these traffic stops if you want to get guns off the street? But you know what? If that's what citizens really want, if that's what you want, us to stop doing traffic stops for minor violations, then go ahead and pass it in the legislature if that's what you want. But don't be upset when crime goes up in your neighborhood, because that is the consequences of taking away proactive tools from police officers. Because let's make no mistake, when citizens get pissed off at police officers because they stopped them for whatever equipment violation, and they say, don't you have anything better to do, blah, blah, blah. Don't get pissed off at the police officer. Get pissed off at your legislature. We are simply an arm of the executive branch. You get with your legislative branch to change the law, but be prepared to absorb the unintended consequences when you take that tool out of our toolbox.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop Podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well. I would also say, when we say air quotes, law enforcement officer, I have a funny feeling this person has done nothing in their law enforcement career and has political aspirations and uses this platform because they're not intelligent enough. And I would invite them on the podcast. If anybody gets to tell that person they want to come on the podcast, we'll bring Joe back. Joe Gamaldi.
Hey, Dennis, bring him on. No, let's bring him on and do a little side-by-side debate. You can moderate, all right? And I will be more than happy to dress this dude down and say, you are a disgrace to the badge, to say, we want to take these tools. And not only that, I'd like to look him in the eye and say, do you give a shit about your community? Or do you just care about your own political aspiration?
That's right.
Because if you want to take away tools from law enforcement, what you're really saying is you don't give a damn about the hardworking people in your community that are ultimately going to be victimized by the suspects we're allowing to run free.
It's wild. And I promise you, I would know with all my heart, this is probably somebody who thinks they're intelligent, but is a complete fucking idiot. And those are the worst ones, right? They try to use big words and sound a little intelligent, and they are complete idiots. And the reason they won't come on a show like this is because they know the truth.
Yeah.
Deep down inside, you know that you can't. It's just like all these chiefs of police. Oh, my chief says you're a this, you're a that. I go, have him call me. And my detectives say we had to get a search warrant to search that car. They say, you're wrong. Here's my cell phone number. Have them call me. But the caveat is, if they are so adamant that I'm wrong, we are going Facebook Live to keep it held to a standard.
Yeah.
So there's no erasing.
Let's make sure we're doing this all on the level here.
Hey, man, let's do it publicly, right? I will sit down. If a chief of police or a sheriff in North Carolina, who the fuck he is, bans pretextual stops, well, let's have a conversation of what a pretextual stop is. See if you know what it is. See if you know the case law surrounding it, why it's important, and the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of cases in this country where pretextual stops saved thousands upon thousands of lives. And two that I bring up are a gentleman who took our training and saved a 9 and a 12-year-old who were recently kidnapped and being sold in the black market.
Wow.
And a woman in Detroit who had kidnapped children from a bus stop, and two Detroit police officers who used a pretextual stop by her rolling through a stop sign. I mean, they recognized something was wrong and rescued those kids from what I believe is going to be imminent death. Yet wow. You have sheriffs who are fucking morons. I see this guy. You could see this guy pushing a political agenda based on race. And literally, people are believing him. And what he's doing is murdering and destroying his community. And they trump it up, but we'll never come on a show like this. Never. Because I don't sit around and toot his wiener, right? I don't toot, you know what I mean?
If you're so confident in what you believe, then defend your position. And what they do, too, is they like to surround themselves with their echo chamber. You know, and right. Whether that's, you know, their appointed staff or, you know, whoever that's telling them, oh, you're right, 100%, you know, chief or sheriff or whatever. You know, yeah, you're absolutely right, blah, blah, blah. People like that do not want to be challenged. They don't want to think that their idea isn't the best one. And that's why he'd never come on and try to defend his position. But like, if you truly believe, like, I believe 100% that I am right, and we should continue to do traffic stops. We should stop people for equipment. I also have statistical data that says I'm right, but I'm willing to defend my position and say, come on the show and let's talk about it. And too often people just want to spout off and they don't actually want to defend their positions, because I think what you're saying is correct. He knows he's wrong. He knows that what he's saying isn't right. But you know what? I got to get mine. I got to make sure I get elected, or I got to get reelected, or I have to get a new contract, whatever it is. So I'm going to play the game and essentially throw my profession and my officers under the bus in the process and my community. I mean, it's mind boggling.
I mean, Joe, can we agree that the number one priority of law enforcement is law enforcement? Can we just start? Let's start there and build up from there. And you know, I certainly understand community policing, school resource officers, more than anything. I'll even give a little bit to, I understand traffic safety divisions. I get some of that, not a lot of that. Saw a woman on the way into work today getting pulled over. And I just thought to myself, come on, guys. Like, come on. Like, I, you know, come on. This is the same road that I drive down every day and I see these mutts. And I think to myself, how are you not seeing this? Why do you go for the low-hanging fruit? And it's not their fault. Everybody goes to an academy where a guy shows up with a crew cut and shows you how to charge a battery to a LiDAR gun, right? What is that? That's nothing. That's not police work. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And this guy's telling the importance of rear antenna radar, how to use tuning forks. Like, let's talk about case law, what a criminal looks like. So people can, on their own, I think that every cop should be watching the first 48 nonstop. I love it. Good I'm show. Addicted to that show because the one thing I like the most about that show is it's going to show you how full of shit people are and when the truth actually comes out. So you could take that real life experience of these, and you're usually getting kind of a good field training from more seasoned detectives. They're usually from murder and homicide detectives. Those people, I don't think they typically just take the dopes and trying to do them a favor. Those guys go to other places, right? And those girls, they go to whatever, things that there's no really any liability, right?
Yeah.
Maybe to handing out ice cream and shit like that type of people, right? But
dancing
so on, this
doing dancing videos, TikTok videos,
whatever they're doing. Listen, that's their thing. Rock and roll, man. I get it. You know, that's if you couldn't take a guy or a girl who's into going out and stopping crime and catching bad guys and convince them for a second to get on a fucking top of an ice cream truck and dance.
Yeah.
Let's just face facts. If you would have said to me in my heyday, bro, I was on the range and I asked to come off the range. I was like, we had a radio on the range in case somebody shot themselves. So we could call right away. So the range radio was there. And crazy enough, two people shot themselves since I left.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, yeah, but like not like in the hand, one in the foot, right? Like just dumb shit. Anyway, I remember listening to the radio and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing at this range, dude? Right. And I got put there because I'm not complaining why I was put there. It was for good reasons. It wasn't for bad. It certainly wasn't a punishment. As a matter of fact, it was a detriment because when you're 6 months on the road and they make you a firearms instructor of a 200-man police department where there's 83 people who are dying to get on that range and you're literally just started growing facial hair and now you're a fucking range instructor. Oh, talk about a fast way to get no friends fast. So, but I remember being there like, I don't want to do this. I want to be in a fucking black and white. Chasing a radio, man. I want to be going. I'm here in pursuits. And I'm like, God damn, down here doing this. In today's detective day, this is the scariest day of my life. If you're a firearms instructor, you'll be laughing. Detective day's terrifying. Because here come the fucking old dinosaurs. right? And here, you know, they're like quick draw McGraw. Like they're just like, oh, Detective Day is the scariest day ever. And some of them are good, but so Detective Days. But, you know, so you see these major crime detectives and they're really good. They're very, very intelligent. They're very good. And you're learning so much about what it looks like when they show up to a crime scene, how they're talking to people, how they don't believe people, why they don't believe people, the pauses when somebody's lying. They're explaining to you in the interim on the first 48, if somebody was accusing me of killing my family, I probably wouldn't just sit there and calmly say, I didn't commit no murder. Could you imagine right? So, and then you also get the joke from Tom Segura's Netflix special where he talks about the first 48. And it is probably one of the funniest bits in United States comedy history. Have you ever heard that one, Joe?
No, I haven't heard it.
If you want to do yourself a favor, go on Netflix. And I'm always about educating, but Tom Segura, any of them, but I can go through, I think it's four specials. I probably listen to each of them 12 times a piece. Could be some of the highest level comedy genius from somebody who's very, very funny. And I'm like a comedy connoisseur.
Okay.
Could be.
I gotta get you down to Austin. Then we'll meet up at Joe Rogan's new comedy club.
Oh, I'm down, dude. What's it called?
I think it's called the Mothership or something.
Yeah, the Mothership. Yeah, Comedy Mothership, something like that. Yeah, dude. I certainly definitely want to go to that. But he does a bit on the first 48, and it is fantastic, and it doesn't miss for a second.
All right,
it's really good. So watch it, Joe, and that's your homework for the next time.
I'm gonna do it. You know, I wanted to share a funny story because I thought of something when you were talking about how you were a range instructor. And I mean, looking back, it's funny. At the time, maybe it wasn't as funny. So this was back when I was the local president here in Houston. I get a text from my vice president. And he goes, holy shit. He goes, David just shit his pants at the range. And I go, oh my God, he shit his pants at the range. Like, I guess that's terrible. Why the fuck are you texting me about it? And he goes, oh, sorry, autocorrect. He just shot himself in the pants at the range. And I was like, whoa. I was like, is he all right? Is everything good? He's like, oh, no, he's good. He's not hurt or whatever. I go, you know what? Now looking back, I'm not sure what's worse, that he shit his pants at the range or that he shot his pants at the range. But that was the confusion in the text message. And as soon as you started telling your range star, I was like, I got to tell this story.
Dude, that's wild. I mean, could you imagine? You know, I'm not trying to put people on blast, but fuck do you. I've known a lot of people that have accidentally shot themselves. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was more than I should. Retention holsters where you use the trigger finger to release. And I guess he was releasing or reholstering or something like that. So just be careful, folks, if you use that that holster, because I can get you.
Wild. But listen, you know, I guess dangers of the job. Unfortunately, shit like that happens. And, you know, I don't want to see anybody losing their life. But I've known quite a few people that have accidentally shot themselves. I went to the academy with a guy who was a former Border Patrol guy. He's at the range. And I remember we had at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, you're allowed to wear shorts on some days. I don't know if you could. I think you had to get the permission to wear shorts, or we wore shorts for something. And I go, what the fuck happened to your leg? The guy on the line next to him shot him in the leg.
Oh,
reholstered. Like, could you imagine, dude?
That's crazy.
You want to hear something crazy about the federal system for law enforcement? And I don't know if this is for everyone, but certainly where I worked, there is actually no, if you get injured in the line of duty, there's no pension to cover you. You're just fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. You know, it's so crazy to me. We have people who are, you know, willing to put their lives on the line, or, you know, serious injury as a result of doing their job. Like, everybody needs to make sure that they're taken care of. It's the responsibility of us as a society, not just the departments that we work for, the agencies that we work for. Like, it is a responsibility of our society to take care of our police officers that are serving, to take care of our veterans, to make sure they're taken care of, which, you know, circles back around to what you were talking about. We spend money on all these other things. We need to make sure our police officers are taken care of for wellness and for recovery when they get injured. We need to make sure we're taking care of our veterans, to make sure they're taken care of. And that's just like a basic responsibility we should all have. And maybe it should also be a basic responsibility to show just an ounce of respect to veterans and police officers or firefighters, people who are in a life of service who have agreed to serve our communities, like, how about we show them just a little bit of reverence and a little bit of respect for the fact that we're willing to go out there and do these types of things to ensure your freedom and to ensure you have a good quality of life in this country. I mean, it's not like an unreasonable request of people.
I actually like the idea of mandatory military service for 2 years for every citizen.
There's got to be.
Well, think about this, right? You're going to go. You got to go to boot camp no matter who you are. And of course, people are going to hack the system. They're going to get their passes. They're going to get their medical exemptions. That's fine. But not everybody can get those. And not everybody's going to get those. And there is no exemption. You have. And again, you know, people are like, well, I want to go to college. That's cool. Go when you're 19 instead of 17, or go when you're 20. Because I don't think 2 years of, one, it trains all of us for Homeland Security, right? Number two, I think it teaches a lot of respect, and you'll have respect for veterans. I like it. I think it's a good idea.
There has to be something. I just saw a study the other day that said, like, you know, they just measured like the lowest amount of civic pride they'd ever seen in like high school students. And it's like, it's not surprising, because we as a society are like, for whatever reason, teaching them that our country isn't good and America's done this, that, and the other thing. Like, can we get back to teaching having civic pride, having pride in your country? We live in the best country in the history of the world. And that's what we should be teaching our kids. Not that, and listen, we can still teach them that we've had mistakes. There's been mistakes that have been made in the past. We're not perfect. But this constant drumbeat of these Looney Tune nut jobs that somehow America is this like horrific country, it's a joke, but it's affecting our impressionable kids, which we could go on to a point that parents should be doing a good job making sure that their kids are educated properly outside of school as well, and monitoring what they're learning inside of school. But there should be something, and whether it's military service or some sort of civic duty that you have to perform to like teach kids, hey, we live in a pretty great country. Let's kind of keep this going, because I'm a little afraid of what's going to happen when our kids are grown up or their kids. Like, what kind of country are they going to be looking at if we don't get things kind of back on track here? You can only hate on your own country so long before everything just kind of collapses.
I wonder what position Brittany Griner has taken now, because she essentially is the person that we all wanted to see. It, you know, like, I don't. Again, let me just say this before I say the statement.
Yeah.
A very forgiving human being. I'm very compassionate and very empathetic. And I think that as I don't think people sometimes deserve what everybody thinks they deserve.
Yeah.
I don't think for kneeling at the national anthem, she deserved to spend 9 months in prison in Russia.
For 10 years, and she had a 10-year sentence. She was supposed to serve 10 years, yeah.
I'm not saying that was the justice that she deserved. But being that happened to her, I would love to hear what her position is now regarding civic pride versus what it felt like to be in Russia.
You know, here's that whole situation, right? And I agree with you here. Like, first of all, like, let's just take it at bare facts. You are an idiot for carrying anything illegal in a foreign country, especially Russia, which actively hates the United States. And you have to know that if you are caught with this, regardless of what it is, if you don't think it's a big deal, whatever, you don't think marijuana is a big deal, whatever, like, you had to know they are going to hammer you. So you are an idiot for carrying it. But at the same time, she doesn't need to be thrown in jail for 10 years in Russia for carrying a vape pen with CBD oil in it or whatever it was. That's ridiculous. And nobody should have to go through that. I don't even care if she's, you know, disrespected our country in the past. That's an American citizen who's gone. You know, I don't want them in prison for 10 years in Russia for that. But at the same token, wouldn't it have been really nice if she came back when she got traded, and immediately when she came back, she said, I'm sorry for what I have said about our country in the past, and that maybe I haven't shown the right respect, and like show just a little bit of remorse and really say, we live in the greatest country in the world. I realized that after I've made this mistake. I made this horrible mistake and how great it is to be here and really be like an ambassador for freedom and leniency and all the great things that we allow in the United States when you make a minor mistake like that. But instead, I haven't seen any of that from her. And it's just so frustrating because it's like, come on, you just went through this situation where you were literally going to do 10 years in prison. And because we were able to get you out and because you live in this great country, come on, just, you know, like, just say thank you, Jesus.
And the trade-off, the guy, you know, whatever, the ambassador of death, whatever that guy was.
Yeah.
He goes right on Russian media and starts promoting the United States of America.
Yep.
Right? He didn't, and again, I don't know what the underlying motive behind that was, but the guy's like, they don't hate us. They like us a lot. They're very curious. Not one person hates Russians, right? And you're just like, this is like, now I'm not making excuse or saying this guy's some kind of hero, but we got this basketball player who can't even come back and have the decency to do some interviews and say this, and for whatever reason. And then you got this guy who's the, what's he called? The merchant of death. Who goes back and was in prison here and was elated on his experience by the people he met in prison, who are our worst people in society, who we thought were just fantastic.
And you know what it really boils down to is just that she doesn't have the courage to do it because, you know, like the woke ideology and like the woke culture, like you can't go against them. So if she came out and said all those things, she'd get destroyed. So she cares more about her reputation than actually stepping out and like cares about her reputation in those circles than doing what is right and what she should have done and been appreciative and just thanking her lucky stars that she's a United States citizen.
I mean, the gold is on the other side of courage. It just is.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to be courageous. And, you know, Joe, I got to give you credit. You are one of the most courageous people. We're friends.
No,
I don't have any interest in anything that you have that I need. I never do with anybody that I'm friends with. I'd be honored to ever do anything I can for you.
Appreciate
I think
it.
We're all on the same team, but how we came here today is because of Joe's inept ability to not give a fuck and speak the truth. And that's a very hard thing to do. And I think we all have the responsibility to do it as fairly as possible, which I try to do as much as possible. We're human beings. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. But I sit here today and say to you, I am not unproud of anything that I've done professionally. In a sense where I feel like I've made such significant mistakes. And it takes a lot of courage. And I think people really admire a guy like you because of your ability to do things that they can't. And that is have the kind of courage you have. It's a fucking, tell them, how scary is it to have courage at times?
Well, first of all, I appreciate it. And you know, the feeling's mutual, but no, I mean, you have to believe that what you're doing is the right thing and let that guide you. And like, sometimes the right thing will get you pushback. It will get you in trouble, but you just have to decide like, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what is right. And there may be consequences and there are consequences. I talked about it last time I was on the podcast with you, like death threats. My wife can't be on social media. You know, you got to watch closer your kids. And, you know, is somebody going to try to come to my kid's school? Like, I mean, my God, I have to have my name constantly monitored on the internet for any like real threats that are coming. Like these are all real things. Not to say for all just the, you know, backlash that you receive just in general in the public arena. You know what I mean? That I can always deal with. But, you know, you have to, though, figure out what is right. You know, really be an independent thinker, too. Like find the statistics, find the data. Understand what you believe is right and what your truth is, and then passionately defend it. But also like be willing to listen to other people, be willing to change your opinion on things, be willing to look at their data if they have any, and be willing to change your position sometimes. There are times where I thought I was 100% right about something. And then all of a sudden something else happens and you're like, okay, well, maybe I wasn't. And another thing too, to young police officers and just maybe young people in general that are watching, own your shit. Own your mistakes. Too often, everybody has an excuse when they make a mistake. And I really have tried to pride myself in, as I get older and I become, as you were talking about, more empathetic. It's just like, own your shit. If you make a mistake, just say, I own it 100%. I made a mistake, and apologize if you need to, and move on. You will gain more trust and more develop relationships better with people if you're willing to occasionally admit you are wrong, because there are going to be times you are, and own it, apologize, and move on. That's how people end up trusting you. That's how you build relationships with people.
That was great. And I don't think I could say anything better than that at this point. And man, I, when I saw your name on the calendar, I'm like, oh, it's on like a motherfucker right now. Like, I, people always say, you should run for president. No, you don't. No. First of all, I would never fit the agenda. Number two is your boy, you know, You wouldn't be too long. You would have to throw your cast your line too far before you're like, well, we found some disqualifying shit, right? And in the sense of, I was just a fun dude. What can I tell you? I was a fun guy, and I don't fit the model agenda of what a yep. perfect politician looks like, because I wasn't a perfect kid. You're gonna find the fact that I smoked weed in high school, right? Shit like that. You know, that I cut school. I was suspended all the time. I was always suspended. I hated school. And then I figured out, if they gave me ISS and I left ISS, they give me OSS. What a deal. And I used to tell the principal. Dude, I never forget. This is a real story. I tell my vice principal, who I don't even know she's alive anymore, but I would see her after, and she just, I think it tickled her how ridiculous I was. She always, later on, I came back to the school as a cop, and she was fine. You know, we were very friendly.
If she could see you now, the king of an empire.
No, I don't know about that, my friend. I'm just trying to fix some shit. And she would say to me, you got 3 days ISS. And I would go, but I want OSS. And she would say, I actually would say, Mrs. Moskowitz, let's just cut out the semantics here. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk down to ISS and I'm going to walk right past it. And I'm going to go get a haircut. My barber's two blocks away. And then I'm going to come back to school. You're going to call my cell phone as per the usual, and you're going to suspend me for 3 days outside of school. Just get it over with. And I'll never forget. She goes, fine, you have 3 days OSS. Yeah.
Let's,
and then my father,
the middle man here, let's just jump to the end.
We know where we're going with this. I don't come to this place. I can't stand it here. This is a prison for a guy with extreme ADHD. All I want to do is be a cop, right? As weird as that sounds, I just want to be a cop and go chase bad guys. I don't want to say nothing here. And to this day, I still hold firm that I haven't learned anything in school that I'm using outside of basic arithmetic and spelling and grammar. And dude, it's so funny because, like, I was so keen. I remember I was getting caught for cutting school so much that my father would make sure my car was in the parking lot during the day. And I mean, my parents were so, and unfortunately, he'll never hear this, but, we just use somebody else's car to leave. I mean, that was it.
I'm going to figure a way around this.
I remember walking down, cutting school, walking down like this main road, this big avenue to get back towards my neighborhood. Like, you know, it's a hike. Bro, I would cut school and like literally roam the 20 square miles of the town that I lived in. And I remember walking down. My father was an electrician and he was doing work. I didn't even know he was there. He was doing work on his friend's bakery on that road, and he's up on a ladder, and I'm walking down, not a care in the world. I'm like 14 smoking cigarettes, right?
That's great.
Like, yeah, and then here he is up on the ladder, and I'm like, he's looking at me. I'm smoking, right? And he's looking down on this fucking extension ladder from like the front. He was fixing the lights of like the bakery sign, and I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think school's out or something, you know? Like, dude, it got so repetitive. It got comical.
And for those watching, that's when Dennis realized that he couldn't be a criminal because he would get caught.
Dude, I couldn't be a criminal because I couldn't stomach. I don't know. I just, nothing I ever did was essentially breaking the law or like our law code. I just, as somebody who was never really a rule follower, if I didn't believe in the rules, but I did uphold the law and always followed the law. I just never understood stupid rules.
You're a free thinker.
It's a threat to a lot of people.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
People when
you
don't like
fit
that.
The mold, when you don't fit the mold on either side that they want you to fit, people get upset with you because you don't fit into that little box that they want you to fit into.
It's a hard thing for a guy like me to, well, one, there's a lot going on for days about this, but, you know, it's hard when you have real problem-solving solutions and you're told, who the fuck do you think you are? And then 3 weeks later, you're saying, well, if we would have had that, like I suggested we did, we wouldn't have the situation we have now, would we?
Yep.
Who invited him here? Just saying, guys.
Yeah.
This was a simple fix 3 weeks ago. I saw this on the forefront. You could have just done this, but you didn't want to do it because you want to do things your way.
Yep.
And, you know, people say, well, what kind of cop were you? You say you could have been this. You could have been the chief. You would have ran the place. Well, I don't know. Look what I did with this shit. You know, like, I don't know. Right?
Maybe it would have turned out pretty good if you put me in charge. I mean,
I'm not saying I was completely equipped at that time, but you know, we ain't slacking over here at Street Cop Trading. You know what I mean? Like, we're pivoting and moving along pretty fucking good. I don't know when the last time you saw a conference on my second conference with 1500 plus attendees, and it was, bro, it was a show. Let me tell you something. It was.
Oh, it looked awesome. Yeah, I saw it all on Instagram. You guys are doing it. You're killing it. You're doing a great job, and you're providing much needed service to police officers.
You know, we're not killing the sense where there's like pride of my business skills. We're killing in the sense that I know that we're having an impact, and that's what means the most to me. It's not about like, I like the fact that, dude, literally, I don't know if you thought, did you see the post I put up yesterday? The girl who found the trap, she was rookie. So she found a trap. Yeah.
I like the reviews that you guys put up from the officers that take your class. I saw something, I think last night on Instagram where it was like, took your class yesterday or 2 days ago. And he like sends you a picture and like he knocked down 2 stolens in 2 days or something like that. Like,
oh, that was good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Bro, we had people leave the conference. And in the first week, it's a week now, we're filming on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Right. We wouldn't even dare attempt to go to a Mexican restaurant today because they're going to be fucking bonkers and nuts. In New Jersey, because there's like 6 in the whole state. So you guys can go to thousands of them. There's 6.
There's
here.
Literally 6 within 5 minutes of my house here in Texas.
Yeah, no, there's 6 here total. Yeah. And most of them aren't even authentic Mexican. Like 5 of them are basically on the border.
Or like Taco Bell.
Well, I would even say it's just not authentic Mexican until you've been to Texas. But anyway, man, it's been so amazing to see in the first week, like people recovering stolen cars, people recovering guns, people finding traps, people rescuing kids. It's wild. And the crazy thing is, I'm just waiting for the next liberal article to come out about our convention.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, you could look it up. Anybody can just Google our shit, right?
You're a threat to democracy, Dennis. You're a threat to democracy. God, yeah. You must be silenced.
It's wild, dude. Anyway, Joe, it was a blast. This is great. And I appreciate, as always, and you know, you always got a friend in me, and I'll always be here cheering you on and supporting you.
I appreciate it, Dennis. Thank you so much for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at streetcop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher. So you get 2 for the price of 1. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out streetcop.com for that offer.